G'day, it's St. James. I've got a question for you this morning. You ready for a question?
Yes.
Are you rich?
Yes.
Bit of yes and bit of yes and bit of no. Those who are rich will get you to stay behind afterwards and fill up the collection bags. And those who are poor will distribute what was in the bags to you. But how would you know? How would you know how to answer that question? Are you rich? How would you, what would you do? Would you compare how much you've got in your piggy bank to others at school? Would you count up the number of toys and games that you have? How would you answer that question? Are you rich? Well, here's one way you could do it. Imagine that we had a line of children, 100 children in the line, children and young people, and they're taken from all around the world, and they were put in a line based on how much money their family has. Children from America and Australia, children from Germany and Gibraltar, children from Zambia and Zimbabwe. And if we had this line from there to here, 1 to 100, if we were in that line, I think we would almost certainly be in the top 10, maybe even all in the top 5, because we have so much compared to so many people around the world. It doesn't always feel like that, but that's true. But I want to let you in on a little secret this morning. Even if you were the last people in the line, even if you were the poorest people in the line, you could still be thankful and happy. How come? Because we're alive. Life is a gift of God. Because we know Jesus. Through Jesus, we come to know God. And because of God's love and goodness, we can always give thanks to God. We can give thanks to God whether we've got many things or only a few things. We can be happy with what we have because we have Jesus. In that Bible passage I just read from 1 Timothy, Paul was writing to a church that had both rich people and poor people. Some people in that church were very rich. Some people were slaves. They were very poor. They had nothing. But whether the people were very rich or very poor, they had one thing in common together, that God had given good gifts to each of them, just like he's given good gifts to us. So this morning, what I want us to do is think about how we should live in response to the good things that God has given us. We need to think carefully about the God who's given us those good things to enjoy. We need to consider our attitude towards our things and how we can use all that we have for God's glory. So this is a message for all of us this morning. It's not just a message for you, it's a message for your parents as well, because your parents sometimes struggle with the very same things. So the first thing we see is that God gives us good gifts and we need to depend on him. In verse 17 it began, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. And what Paul's talking about here is two constant temptations for all who are rich and have lots of things. The first temptation is to be arrogant. An arrogant person, children, is someone who boasts about what they have and how good they are. Maybe you know someone who's like that. They're always boasting about the things that they have or how good they are at things, how their things are better than your things or newer than your things, or they have more of them, how they have better friends, they're smarter, they're funnier than you are. I think we probably know people who are like that. And it's one temptation to be arrogant, to be boastful, to say how wonderful we are compared to other people. But the second temptation that we have is to try to find happiness in the things that we have rather than in God. If God gave us things, he can take them away again, can't he? Is that true? And if someone can only be happy when they've got the latest games, the latest toys, the newest clothes, or whatever those things are, then if you can only be happy with those things, then if you lose that thing, if someone steals your bike, if someone takes away your favorite game, then you're going to be very upset. You're going to be very sad because you're trying to find happiness in the things rather than in God. And things are here today and they're gone tomorrow. With most things you buy these days, they're made of plastic. And they're here today and they're gone. It's not almost even tomorrow. They break that quickly. And so because of that, Paul tells Timothy to tell us not to put our hope in wealth or in our things. Not to depend on those things, because our riches and our things aren't strong enough to hold on to our hopes. If you depend on riches, if you depend on the things that you have, that's a little bit like walking on thin ice. Has anyone ever walked on thin ice before? Mike has. We've got one, two, three, four, a few people. What happens when you walk on thin ice, Mike?
It breaks.
It breaks and you fall straight through. And that's a little bit like the same thing here too. If you put your hope in your things and the gifts that God's given you, you're going to crack that ice, you're going to fall through, and you're going to get very cold. One reason why the ice is going to crack is because our life in this world isn't going to go on forever and ever. A little bit earlier, we didn't read it, but back in verse 7, Paul said this, "We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." That's true, isn't it? When you were born, you came into the world naked. You had nothing on. You had nothing with you. And when you die, you'll probably be dressed in your coffin, but your clothes will rot away too. You come into the world with nothing, and you leave the world with nothing as well. And that's why instead of putting our hope and our trust in the things that we have, we're to put our hope in God. Put our hope in the God who gives us the good things. We should think for a moment about Jesus too, I think. The Bible says this, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Jesus was rich. Jesus had everything. He had all riches, all glory, all honor. But did he hold on to them? Did he hold on to them at any cost? No, he gave them up. He swapped being rich for being poor. He's probably the only person in history who ever made that choice voluntarily. He swapped being rich for being poor. He swapped heaven for being born in a manger, a cattle feeding trough in Bethlehem. He swapped glory and honor for a painful cross. Jesus gave up everything. And he put his hope in God. Jesus depended on God to sustain him, to save him, to provide for him. You see, friends, our hope and trust need to be in the Lord. We need to depend upon God, the one who gives us good things. And so this morning, if you love Jesus, then your house might burn down, you might lose your job, a loved one may die, but you still have Jesus. And you can be thankful then. You can give thanks to God for being kind to you, because you know all of life is a gracious gift of God, because you know God through having a living relationship with Jesus. God gives us good gifts, many good gifts, and we need to depend on him. We need to trust in him. But then we also see here an attitude that we're to have, and that is this, that God gives us good gifts, and we need to learn contentment. That word came up earlier on in the Bible reading that the gems gave us before. We need to learn contentment, because the verse continues, "Put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." We should be content because God richly provides for us. God is a God of love, and when God provides for us, God's not stingy. God richly provides us with everything. God gives us food. He gives us clothes. He gives us a family. He gives us a school. He gives us pocket money. He gives us a job. He gives everything you have, and your piggy bank and your wallet is from God. The exact gift of God, down to the last cent. Everything comes from God. Nothing just comes to us by chance. And if you're not able to be satisfied with what God has given you now, then you will never be satisfied. Even if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and find, children, that somebody had put $1 million in your bank account, oh, I'm seeing lots of smiles from the cadets and gems. They're imagining what that would be like. Even if you were to wake up tomorrow and somebody put $1 million in your bank account, you still wouldn't be content. Contentment, you see, can't come from having everything we want because there's no limit to what we want. Our desire for things just can keep on growing. So you have $1 million and you can buy some things and then the money will run out or you want a better thing. Parents, maybe you've noticed this at times with your children. I mentioned it before and we almost had an example of it a little bit last night. We had our missions dinner and we have some lovely soup and we had sausages. And where'd the kids go? The sausages. I tell you, if there was steak on the counter in the kitchen, they would have gone for the sausages. But then eventually your children realize that the steak that you're having is actually pretty good. And they start wanting the steak as well. Sausages, they're not happy with it. For once upon a time, at the beginning, they were very happy with sausages. They'd have preferred sausages over anything else in the world. But now there's this other thing. They start to like the thing that you have. And even when you're happy with a steak, you learn there's a difference between rump steak and ribeye steak, don't you? There's a big difference. Our children are just illustrating this very point, though. If you're not happy with what you already have, with what God's given you, then you'll never be happy, even if you have more or better. Children, if you think that you'll be happy if you have just one more of whatever the thing might be, you will always, throughout your life, be complaining and grumbling. Because when you get that one thing, and you might well get it, when you get that one thing, there'll always be one more thing. You'll never be happy and joyful. You'll always be wanting something more. What you need, what we all need, is this word that we call contentment. And that means learning to be happy with whatever we have. We read it before in Philippians 4. Paul said, I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. He's experienced both. I know what it's like to not have the things I want and to have all the things that I need. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Children and young people, does God owe you anything? He doesn't owe us anything, does He? And that means everything's a gift. And when everything's a gift, you can be happy for everything. And if that's how you view the good things that God gives you, then you'll be able to enjoy those things the way God intends. And God will give you the ability to enjoy what you have. We saw some photos last night at our missions dinner of some very, very happy children. I know some of you cadets and gems were there watching. Some very happy children. We heard stories about some very happy children who have almost nothing compared to you. But they are very happy. And we can be happy whatever we have if we're enjoying the gifts God's given us. You'll be able to see those things as gifts of God for you and be satisfied in them and be glad in God's goodness to you. Enjoyment and satisfaction, what good things to have. God gives us these good gifts, and we need to learn contentment. There's one final thing here in our passage, and that is God gives us good gifts, and we need to exercise generosity. That's one aspect of being thankful, being generous to others. Paul guides our lives in verse 18 that we should do good. We should be rich in good deeds. It doesn't say rich in having $1 million in your bank account. To be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. See, when God gives us good things, and God's given all of us good things, when God gives us good things, when He's been generous towards us, then God, we gain something as well as the good things. We gain a responsibility to be generous towards others, to use the things God's given us to help others. In other words, the goal isn't to fill your room until it's overflowing with things, or your house until it's overflowing with things, but to let those same gifts and riches flow out to others. We're to be ready to share what God has given us, especially with those within the church. To help people who are perhaps finding life hard, perhaps something has made them sad, make their life happy again. And to learn hospitality and friendship as we share our fun things with others. So I ask you this morning, you don't have to answer this question out loud, but just think about it. Are you generous? How generous are you compared to God's generosity to you? How generous are you towards God? How generous are you towards others? And are you willing to share? Are you willing to share not just your second-hand things, not just your second-best toys or your second-best things, but your best things, your favorite birthday present? Or maybe do you find it easy to, you save up some money and you find it easy to spend that money on something that you want, but you find it really hard to be generous to others when it's their birthday and you're buying them a birthday present. If you find that hard, if you find yourself feeling from time to time that this is really hard, there's an encouragement for you here, because when you're rich in good deeds, when you are generous and willing to share, Paul says that you will lay up a treasure for yourselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that you may take hold of the life that is truly life. What Paul's saying here, children, is that being generous to others is like investing in the future. As you share and enrich the lives of other people with the good things that God's given you, you're investing in the future. You're putting your reward forward. You're paying it forward. You're showing that you trust God. You show that you trust God to meet your needs now, even as you're helping to meet other people's needs now instead. You may remember those words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you see then, when we are generous to others and when we share the gifts that God has given us, it'll help us avoid being trapped in this world. Being trapped in the world with its cares and worries and anxieties. It'll remind you from day to day that your lasting life is with God. And it'll remind you that your earthly riches and all your favorite treasures in your room are not going to be worth anything when you come to heaven. And since your good things and your riches and your favorite things aren't going to do you any use in the future, do good with them now. That's what Jesus is saying. Use God's good gifts to be generous to others, to store up treasure for life that's still to come. And so, the important question this morning isn't that question I opened with. The important question isn't, are you rich? But rather this, are you thankful and content? Because of God's good gifts to us, in Jesus, we can say yes. So let me hear you again. Are you thankful and content?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Let's pray.